This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI This Week. Let's get to a preview of The Guardian this week. You can hear the full show Saturdays at noon Eastern on AMI Audio. That features readings and analysis from the pages of The Guardian newspaper. Don Dickinson is the producer of that program and joins us now to preview a couple of this week's articles. Say good morning, Don.
Hi there, Dave.
So, Don, let's start over in Northern Ireland. It faces some economic problems similar to those in the rest of the UK, but also has its own unique issues. So, let's start with Brexit. I thought we were done talking about Brexit, but we're never going to be done talking about Brexit. How has Brexit affected Northern Ireland?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the article is titled Northern Ireland is huge in TV and film, but post-Brexit reality is far less glitzy, and it's by the writer Larry Elliott. And what he is saying is Brexit has added a new level of complexity to the highly charged politics of Northern Ireland. Mm. The protocol that was agreed by London and Brussels prevented a hard border being created between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland by putting a barrier between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. And what he's saying by that, in a nutshell, is that critics are saying that Ireland is not getting the advantages that the rest of the UK is getting.
And this is something that was talked about a lot during the Brexit process, that the border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland is a bit scattered. It's not a single straight line border. And we know, you called the politics charged in Northern Ireland. I think that's even being a little bit generous or underplaying it. Talk about the peace process here. We know that it's been generally pretty smooth for about 20 to 25 years, but how is this impacting the peace process in the country?
Well, he's basically saying that the plan to make the peace process more secure is being stretched, as you had just mentioned. Unionist politicians say strict interpretations of the protocol by the EU has made the agreement unworkable. And Brexit Minister Lord Frost has for weeks been threatening to invoke the Article 16, which puts an emergency brake on the Northern Ireland chapter of the UK-EU deal. That could trigger a full-blown trade war, which would be devastating, obviously, for businesses already feeling the impact of the extra trade friction.
Mm. Now, it's not all bad news for Northern Ireland. Where have they found some areas of success?
No, actually, it's not all bad news. On the one part of the story is the great boom in the TV and film industry in Northern Ireland. And this, of course, was all brought on by Game of Thrones. Believe it or not, it started priming the economic pump back in 2010. And then that show led to 8 blockbuster series and acted as a magnet for other productions to come in and invest. And also, Ireland invested heavily in the beginning of the process, and that was a great advantage to them. Game of Thrones blazed a trail. After it came others, such as Line of Duty. I'm not too familiar with that one, but Derry Girls, Dalglish, and a new miniseries based on Henry Fielding's novel Tom Jones, and The Northmen, a new Viking revenge film starring Nicole Kidman. Belfast now has 3 film studios rolling, and Williams says the success of the industry is a shining example of what was meant to happen post the Good Friday Agreement.
Don, I know you're an Anglophile. Have you ever visited Northern Ireland?
Well, you know what? This is very strange that you should ask that. I used to be invited to Ireland quite often in my previous position as a journalist because they had a lot of trade that they wanted to do with Canada, mostly in textiles and crystals and whatnot. And on both of the last, I had gone to Ireland on many occasions, but not Northern Ireland. And then I had been invited to Northern Ireland twice, believe it or not. And both of those trips, I got to Ireland and was doing factory tours in the south, but then the northern visits were canceled because of political troubles.
Oh, dear, yeah.
So, see, there you go. It's a perfect example, you know. There I was all ready to write about wonderful Northern Ireland products, but couldn't cross the border because of troubles.
Yeah, I've been to the Republic and I've been to Northern Ireland. Belfast is a wonderful, wonderful city. I thoroughly enjoyed myself in my couple days in Belfast, but both the Republic and Northern Ireland, both beautiful, beautiful countries. But yes, things can sometimes be a little bit tenuous between the two. Hey, Dawn, let's jump over to where entertainment intersects with business. Designer brand Gucci is reaping the benefit of Ridley Scott's new movie, House of Gucci, that tells the story of the killing of the firm's ex-boss. So how has House of Gucci impacted the brand's business?
Wow, Dave, we're talking big time here. Searches for Gucci clothing are up 73% week on week, according to the e-commerce aggregator lovethesales.com, with a leap of 257% for Gucci bags and 75% for Gucci shoes. The figures suggest that the luxury brand stands only to gain big time from Hollywood's telling of the story of the glamorous Patrizia Reggiani, who hired a hitman to kill her ex-husband, the former head of the fashion label.
What's the relationship between the family and the filmmakers?
Well, it was a bit tenuous in the beginning. The payoff is actually coming after a very delicate dance, is how the author approached it, between the brand's owners and the filmmakers. Officially, Gucci only provided MGM and Scott Free Productions, which is the production company of Ridley Scott, with a selection of original items and props from the fashion house's archive, and allowed for the filming of the scene of some of the scenes at its main store in Rome. That was the initial agreement. While Gucci did not formally endorse the film, it does in fact star Salma Hayek, who is wife of François-Henri Pinault, who is the chairman and chief executive of Gucci's parent company, as well as Jared Leto, a brand ambassador and friend of Gucci creative director Alessandro Michel.
Okay.
So because of those connections, obviously, you know, the boss is the boss's wife is in the movie. I don't think they were going to give them grief, you know.
Yeah, they were aware of some of this interconnectivity that may have been in the script. Dawn, I'm a huge, huge Ridley Scott fan. I saw his other movie that released this year, The Last Duel, about a month ago and really liked it. And I'm looking forward to going to see House of Gucci. Have you seen it? And if so, what did you think?
Yeah, we saw it very recently, and I thought it was an excellent movie. I mean, people have complained because it is long. It's just a touch over 2.5 hours.
I mean, that's Ridley Scott, but, man. Ridley Scott makes long movies.
Yeah, but it's comprehensive, and I mean, it tells the story of this very powerful, powerful family, right? And what amazed me, honestly, Dave, is that throughout the whole movie, I kept thinking, why do these people want more? Because they had so much. I mean, even in her particular case, you know, she was taken care of after the marriage. I mean, she was, you know, very, very annoyed, you know, like it's the old, you know, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was, she in her mind, and still to this day, because they've interviewed her, believe it or not, post movie, thinks that she was the power behind the throne. And, you know, who knows, maybe she was the power behind the throne. And of course, when she was, you know, unceremoniously dumped by the husband, she felt that, you know, she had really been wrongly treated. Mm-hmm. So, and hence murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really wanted to go see it yesterday, but I got myself distracted in a very long conversation with Toronto videographer Matt McGurk, and that kind of put me behind schedule. So hopefully early next week, I'm going to go see House of Gucci because I'm really keen to see this one. Hey, Dawn, thank you for this. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Dave. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.